Pakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What? Well, okay, well, now we got to start there. I was just BSing with John Jackson during the break. I was telling him because we got a caller on the line in Bozeman that we're going to get to here in a few minutes that wants to talk about Kristi Noem and some of her comments at the president's cabinet meeting yesterday. And so I've got one soundbite ready to roll here. But, John, you were telling me no hurricanes. Kristi Noem was talking about no hurricanes. I hadn't even thought about the fact that we didn't have any major hurricane coverage over the past. And, you know, we live in Montana, so we don't closely follow hurricane season. So, yeah, something we just wouldn't have even thought about.
Oh, yeah. Haven't you listened to these nitwit global warming lunatics for the last however many years tell you every time there's a hurricane, it's global warming makes that happen. Oh, my God, can't you see? Can't you? Don't you know? Well, guess what, fellas? We just went through a whole hurricane season with no hurricanes. So does that mean we can pull down all the climate change roadblocks and get back to producing oil and gas and stop using solar? Are we good to go now?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, man. It's just, yeah, that's so funny that you mentioned that because, yeah, last year when there was, you know, some big hurricanes in the news, everybody, oh, climate change. I think Ken in Great Falls called in. Ah, it's all because of climate change. But they never call in when there's no hurricanes to tell you how, oh, yeah, I guess it's not climate change.
Yeah, yeah. You never hear them give you the global warming stuff when it's 10 below and there's 3 feet of snow on the ground. They never talk about, there's never going to be any more snow. It's the end of snow.
It was just like, you know, 60 Minutes didn't bring their helicopter crew to Glacier National Park when they were pulling down the glaciers will be gone by 2020. When they quietly pulled those signs down in 2020 because the glaciers weren't gone in 2020, CBS didn't come back and bring a big film crew and all the above.
Well, all you have to look at for the whole climate change thing is just look at these people don't want hydroelectric. They don't want nuclear. They don't want the two cleanest sources of power that there are. Nuclear is completely safe these days. They don't want them. What does that tell you? It doesn't have anything to do with the environment.
Yeah, that's right. Well, here is the soundbite that caught my eye yesterday. Rapid Response 47 on X had some great highlights from the various cabinet members during President Trump's, I believe it's his ninth televised cabinet meeting. That would have never happened under the Biden regime. Here it is. Stand by.
You told me to look into Minnesota and their fraud on visas and their programs. 50% of them are fraudulent, which means that wacko Governor Walz either is an idiot or he did it on purpose. And I think he's both, sir. He brought people in there illegally that never should have been in this country, said they were somebody that they're not. They said they were married to somebody who was their brother or somebody else. Fraudulent visa applications, signed up for government programs, took hundreds of billions of dollars from the taxpayers, and we're going to remove them and we're going to get our money back.
Yeah, big surprise there about Tim Walz, right? We've got a caller in Bozeman wanting to weigh in on that topic. So, Scott, stand by. We'll get to you first thing right after this quick break. Taking your phone calls with John Jackson in the house.
It's December 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Disability Day, promoted by the United Nations since 1992. The goal is to encourage a better understanding of people affected by a disability to make people more aware of the rights, dignity, and welfare of disabled people. On this day in 2019, the 70th anniversary of NATO in London, a reception for the world leaders by Queen Elizabeth II at Buckingham Palace. Drake is the most streamed star of the 2010s with 28 billion streams, while Ed Sheeran's Shape of You is the most streamed track with 2.4 billion streams, that from Spotify in 2019. Born on this day in 1948, legendary rocker Ozzy Osbourne. Actress Julianne Moore, also born on this day. She won the Academy Award for Best Actress in 2015 for her role in Still Alice. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. We've got Scott in Bozeman. Scott, did I hear right? Did you grow up in Minnesota before you fled?
I did. Before I moved here to warm up, Aaron, I did grow up there, yes.
Yeah. So climate change brought you to Bozeman. That's what you're telling us, huh?
Yes. You know what they'll tell you? When there's a lot of hurricanes, they tell you it's climate change. And I once heard a scientist in an interview when they asked, well, what about a down year? He said, well, that's just good luck. No, you don't get to have it both ways.
Well, what did you heard the Christy Noem soundbite in the cabinet meeting yesterday talking about Tim Walz. Well, give us your take.
Well, first of all, I'm so thankful that finally this is getting national attention. But this has been going on for years and years, and people need to know this man was possibly a vice president and one person away from the White House. And this man is corrupt. He's everything bad that has happened to Minnesota. And we talk about these big states that are, you know, ruined, and the Chicagos and the LAs and the Californias, but Minnesota is on a serious downfall. And nobody will talk about it in Minnesota. They want to look down at their shoes and put their hands in their pocket and whistle like the Scandinavian heritage. And they idolize, you know, the Scandinavian countries, but they're being overtaken by a Somali community that is criminal. I'm going to tell you this really quick. Going back 8-9 years, all in the Somali community, a daycare fraud worth millions, autism centers, millions. Of course, we're starting to hear about feeding our future, and now a reporter in Ottawa has tracked, he's the one that broke this, that possibly some of that money is going to Al-Shabaab in Somalia, which the country is basically run by a cartel, by a gang. Medicare, Medicaid fraud through the Somali community. CDL driver's licenses through the community. And housing stabilization services. These are all wrought with fraud that has been proven, and they have between 400 and 500 state government employees who were essentially whistleblowing to the Walz administration for the better part of 2 or 3 years, and they were told to be quiet, and they were silenced, and Walz knew about it. It's getting documented, and he's running for a third term.
Well, that's why he better be under investigation. I know they're investigating this fraud, but it shouldn't just be the Somali community, which is subject to so much of this fraud that's being investigated. You're exactly right. Tim Walz, the New York Times reported this, that Tim Walz knew about it. They had whistleblowers telling him about it, and yet he did nothing. Scott, great phone call. Great to hear from you. Thanks so much. John Jackson, your thoughts.
Yeah, you go back to that song by Radiohead, you know, I'm a creep, I'm a weirdo, right?
Did you just mute yourself there, John?
Yeah, you knew.
Okay.
You knew right away who he was, and he's shown that to you ever since. And now that place is a cauldron. Oh, you see a cauldron of illegal immigration and crime and fraud. And I told you a second ago, you make me king of the world, I'm gonna surge in FBI and ICE into that state, and we're gonna stay there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a massive fraud scandal. I mean, it's bad enough when you've got American citizens defrauding our fellow taxpayers. I mean, we saw that in a massive way out of California with the unemployment fraud and things like that, especially during COVID-19. But when, you know, the bulk of this is the Somali community, and then they're sending the money back to terrorists overseas, yeah, I mean, I've got to think that, well, ICE first off, apparently ICE is going into to Minneapolis, so that is happening. But I'm with you. The FBI needs to surge in there, too, to go after this corruption.
And like has been pointed out on our spaces, the special agent in charge of the FBI in Minneapolis, which runs the whole state of Minnesota, is the same guy that was there under Biden. He's a Chris Wray appointee. So Kash Patel has yet to get rid of these people out there. You know, how proactive do you think this guy is going to be against this kind of Democrat left-wing corruption?
I like what Scott had to say about the people being, as I would call it, Norwegian nice and not saying, you know, well, I don't want to say anything. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. And it's destroying Minnesota right now. In fact, I saw the Babylon Bee yesterday. Minnesota added to Trump's third world travel ban. And and I joked, you know, it was only time because all the smart Scandinavians moved to Montana from Minnesota a long time ago. Because both, you know, my mom's side of the family, you know, my grandparents, you know, left Minnesota and then settled in northeast Montana. My wife's Norwegian family fled Minnesota a long time ago and came to Montana. So, yeah, all the smart Scandinavians had already left Minnesota a long time ago.
Dude, I fly through there, you know, quite a bit when I go to Charlotte, when I go to North Carolina. And, man, you just go into the airport there. It's freaking little Mogadishu in there, man. I mean, you got the captain there from the Tom Hanks movie serving you a hamburger at the restaurant there. I mean, it's freaking skinnies everywhere.
I love the Ethiopian folks at the airport in Minneapolis, though. They're, because I know like two or three words, but it's funny. You just say thank you and Amharic, and it's just fun to see people light up. And then they start spouting a bunch of other stuff. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like Chris Farley on the Japanese game show. I don't speak Japanese.
just hold your breath and wait for, you know, some kind of airline, airport, aircraft terrorism coming out of that airport, because the place is absolutely infiltrated.
All right, we got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. John Jackson joining us here. He's usually with us on Tuesdays, but he's here today for Unwoke Wednesday. It's always the most unwoke time of the entire week. 406-294-0970, the number for you.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Even though December is the month you might be spending more dough than usual for holiday gifts, the month also provides some great deals that include end-of-year sales at big box retailers that feature price cuts on major appliances, both big and small. If you're looking for some beauty and fragrance items, many retailers sell discounted sets of makeup, perfume, hair, and skincare products. You can buy gifts for others and at the same time stock up on your favorite beauty and fragrance brands at discount prices. And if you want to treat yourself to a dinner out while doing your holiday shopping or need to pick up a last-minute gift, many restaurants and retailers offer deals on gift cards in December. After Christmas, you can find significant discounts on holiday-specific items and remaining seasonal inventory. While shopping, don't overlook opportunities to stack deals by combining store coupons, cashback offers, and clearance pricing to score some great savings. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
History.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's go back to a couple of topics here. Actually, it was Tamara in Billings who wanted to get John Jackson's take on this. We were going to start the show with it, but then we had too much fun with the climate change causing hurricanes. Well, why no hurricanes conversation? So we had to roll right with that one. But, John, Tamara in Billings, she was talking about the real ID. You know, this is something that we as Montanans have been fighting and trying to oppose for several years, but it's now basically being forced implementation now nationwide. But apparently now TSA, if you don't have a real ID, they're going to charge you money every single flight you go on for that. And what's your take on this whole deal?
Yeah, you've been watching this for 20 years when they first implemented it, and it kept getting kicked down the road. And I have a bunch of opinions on it as a retired federal agent. But what I saw, this news I saw the other day, it was like you were told back how many months ago, like back in the summertime, if you don't have a real ID, you can't travel. And now they're saying, if you don't have a real ID, just pay $45. What the hell? But I tell you something, Aaron, I think we're kind of stuck here, and I think the Democrats stuck us. And I believe the reason the Trump administration is going through with this finally after 20 years of can kicking is because of all the illegals here. And I think that's why they're now requiring this real ID to get on airplanes here, because it's a way of weeding people out. All these people, all these illegals here in our country that have gotten state IDs by one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got a message on the Montana Talks app from, this was from Tim and Savage, you know, and he pointed out how the real ID started after 9/11. So a lot of people can understand, you know, the intent, the idea behind it. Right. But interestingly enough, that's why even some Democrats found it politically palatable for them to oppose real ID. A lot of conservatives opposed the real ID because they didn't want, you know, more federal government intrusion, privacy concerns, things like that. But then some of the Democrats, they didn't like a real ID for that very reason. It would help track down who is in this country illegally and things like that. You know, when I think about the real ID and how it started after 9/11, again, it's just a reminder of everything that was done in theory to secure this country. And then Joe Biden becomes president and they just open up the floodgates and allowed anybody into this country. I mean, I know you covered the story very well on Friday, and thanks for filling in on the show Friday. You know, so we don't need to talk too much about that story again here. But basically, I think that the Department of Homeland Security had flagged thousands of Afghans for national security concerns who were brought into this country by Biden. Thousands were flagged by DHS. And that's just the ones they know about. And so you think whether it's real ID or taking off your shoes at the airport or all those, you know, the messages you hear over the loudspeaker, please don't leave your bags unattended, or hey, please don't leave your vehicle while you're out in front of the all of this that was done in theory to secure this country, and then they just open up the floodgates to allow anybody in, and now they're doing everything they can to block Trump from getting them the heck out of here.
It's amazing the history we have lived through just in the last couple of years. In my opinion, the two greatest crimes, the two greatest atrocities committed by the U.S. government against its population were both done by Joe Biden, and that is COVID and the illegal alien invasion. Both of those in 50 years ago, in our history, would have meant politicians going to jail forever and treason charges being levied against them. I mean, this was just horrific, horrific stuff. And to this day, I don't see any charges against any of these people coming from Pam Blondie or from Cash Patel.
All right, let's go into the phone lines here. We've got Clint in Bozeman wanting to weigh in on the real ID as well. Clint, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Well, thanks for bringing it up, you know. My uncle was an officer in World War II, and he was telling me the German people, of course you've seen it on TV too, he said to all the German people after a year or two in power, Hitler and Goebbels and one other guy, made all the citizens of Germany have a real ID. And the reason being was they wanted to find out the different races, what they were, and the different religions, and where they lived, and how much money they had, or whatever. And we're following the same example. What the hell's the matter with this country?
With the real ID. All right, Clint, thanks for the call. John, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The real ID, like I said a minute ago, we're just kind of stuck with that thing. We're just kind of stuck with it because it is a way to have an elevated form of ID that the federal government controls. Look at what California has done to us, California, Washington, Oregon, just with the commercial driver's licenses. I mean, well over 100,000 of these commercial driver's licenses given away to illegals? I mean, really your standard driver's license anymore doesn't mean anything.
I got a message from Michael in Bozeman here. Does the $45 fee, if you do not have a real ID, imply that your passport is no longer valid to get on a flight? No, that would still count as a real ID. Anything that counted as a real ID before still counts as a real ID. But what they're saying is if you don't have something considered a real ID, like your passport, et cetera, then you pay the $45 fee. Well, at least that's my assumption. I mean, that's my assumption, John. But I guess, you know, you never want to assume things. But that would be my assumption. Do you know the answer to that one specifically?
Okay, passport still applies. Passport is still a good ID. Yeah, but you know what they're already saying, though? If you try to go in there and, you know, you just want to pay your $45 and not get a real ID, they're going to reroute you into another line. And you guarantee that'll be a 30-minute delay of you getting through TSA. Betcha.
Another topic, John, I know that you wanted to weigh in on before we start talking. Venezuela, Ukraine, Russia, all that type of stuff. Plus, I got a message from Bruce in Ennis that I got to share with you here as well. You wanted to weigh in on this state mental health prison facility. So there's been a lot of debate over that over the past few months. A lot of Yellowstone County and Billings officials were saying, we don't want it. We don't want it. We already have too many of these types of places in Billings. We're worried that it'll take away from our existing healthcare workforce that's already, you know, needing more workers. And now you add another facility into the mix. Miles City wanted it. Hardin wanted it. Some folks in Yellowstone County and Billings did not want it, but nonetheless, the state is going to, you know, build this facility in Laurel. What's your take?
Yeah, I think some of the comments I've heard from Mark Morris are absolutely dead on, County Commissioner Morris. And look at, because I've worked in Yellowstone County, and just exactly like he says, you got the women's prison there. You already got all the sex offenders in the state have to report here for their probation. And now you're going to put the crazy house, you know, in Yellowstone County too. And I'll tell you, I heard all your comments from the other officials talking about it won't be this and won't be that and the other thing. All I can say to that, Aaron, is by asking you and your audience a question. How many times in your life have you heard politicians tell you, oh, no, these different consequences won't happen. Trust us. How many times has that borne out? Never. Okay.
And I know from Yellowstone County's perspective, I got reaction from Mike Waters on the Yellowstone County Commission. And he's like, and his reaction, you know, because we had several Billings Republican lawmakers saying, hey, we support this, we're excited, and you know, we don't think it's going to be a draw on the workforce. We got 2 to 3 years to figure it out. It's going to be good for the area, you know, et cetera. But, and, you know, and hey, you know, these inmates won't be dumped into Billings afterwards. Most of them will either go back to the jail or the prison where they came from after the treatment, et cetera, or placed back in their home communities. And so, but the reaction from Mike Waters was, okay, these are all platitudes. We need actual concrete, you know, something concrete, you know, on the books in writing to say what will or will not happen. So I thought that was interesting reaction there as well. They kind of ties in with your point.
Yeah, exactly. Every time in my entire life, you know, and I didn't just fall off the turnip truck and neither did you. You always have politicians tell you that, you know, no, these concerns you have, none of that stuff is going to happen. You know, even though it's happened before, you know, none of those concerns are going to happen. Don't you worry. Well, just ask yourself, have you ever seen any of that come true? Do you believe that? I can tell you right now, I don't.
You know, here is that kind of reminds me, you know, here as we approach the end of the year and then get into the start of a new year, everybody's going to be hearing about some magic diet, some magic pill, some magic shot that's going to make you lose all this weight, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be fine, and everything. Look, I'm not going to downplay the impact of things like GLP-1s and how they're helping people lose weight. But here's the challenge for people that are taking these GLP-1s, like Ozempic, is like, okay, it lowers your hunger, but then what ends up happening is your body doesn't get the nutrition that it needs, and so you start destroying your muscles, you start destroying your bone density, and it can have other significant health impacts. But what I would say is this. I can tell you about a program that does work. The program is called Billings Last Diet. It's an ideal protein-based program. Tim and Savage lost 100 pounds using the remote option for Billings Last Diet. I lost 33 pounds in under 3 months. So For those of you that are looking to lose the weight, or even if you're doing these GLP-1s, Billings Last Diet will help your body get the nutrition that it needs while you burn the fat, while you lose the weight. It's an incredible program, incredible team. I've even done remote check-ins with my diet coach from elsewhere across Montana. What I would do, get on their schedule, get started after the first of the year. BillingsLastDiet.com, BillingsLastDiet.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back to here with John Jackson, the Joker from X. We're taking your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970. I was talking with John during the break there. I said, what should we get to next? You want to get to Russia, Ukraine? It sounds like the peace deal. They had like 5 hours of talks yesterday. I think Witkoff was there with Jared Kushner. But then it sounds like, you know, things kind of ground to a halt. So we'll get to that one, but let's start with Venezuela. John, you and I were laughing during the break. It's like, who can Donald Trump get the Democrats to defend next?
It's amazing, isn't it? That in just a short, 11 months now he's been in office, he has them, the entire Democrat Party absolutely defending illegal alien invaders, career criminal murdering raping psychopaths, and now foreign narco terrorists trying to bring cocaine and other drugs into our country. I mean, they are going down in flames with this. You just had this guy Jim Hines yesterday tell MSNBC that there's no such thing as a narco terrorist. When these people have had this designation in Latin America for 30 years, I mean, this level of stupidity is just, it's like that, you know, the people that are too dumb to breathe. They don't even have the mental acuity to be able to breathe, exhale, and inhale.
Well, I saw Leon Panetta, who was, CIA director under Obama, Biden. He was the Secretary of Defense under Obama, I believe. When they were – literally Obama and Panetta had launched drone strikes against an American citizen in Yemen. Now, the guy was worthy of the strike. Don't get me wrong here. But this just points out the hypocrisy. Leon Panetta was drone striking American citizens. Oh, and his kid, too, by the way. But, they want to claim that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump are committing war crimes by going after these narco-terrorists in the Caribbean? Give me a break.
Panetta. Now, that's the same guy that signed on to tell you that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian misinformation. That guy, right? I mean, you know, let me tell you something, Aaron. I mean, I was in the jungle in Colombia. I was in the jungle in Peru. I have gone up against the FARC and the Sendero Luminoso. Okay, these people trying to tell you that there's no such thing as narco-terrorism are absolute lying morons.
I was not in the jungle down there in South America, but I did this really cool hiking tour on the elliptical machine at the gym the other day. So does that count? Does that I can now say I'm an expert on the like these freaking, you know, these liberal reporters covering the Pentagon that run with these rumors and run these rumors as if they're fact, and then it blows up right in their face.
But see, they don't care. You just saw, that's a good point, Aaron, because you see the New York Times just blew up the Washington Post. You know, basically calling complete BS on that whole story about Hegseth and the second strike and all this stuff. But see, they don't care. They've already got it out into the mainstream thought amongst their side. And 5 years from now, they'll still be telling you that Pete Hegseth did this, even though it's already been debunked.
Yeah, and I think there's a bigger picture story to what's going on here. It ties in with the Democrats and the ones that are being referred to as the Seditious Six in the video that they put out where they were basically openly encouraging active duty military soldiers and members of the intelligence community to undermine the president and the commander in chief with their video. Everybody knows that's exactly what they were doing, but I think it ties in with this as well here because there's a great piece at the Federalist, I think, on this very topic, pointing this out, where Democrats are doing two things. One, they're encouraging current serving members of the intelligence community and the DOD to undermine the commander-in-chief, to undermine the president of the United States, to weaponize their positions of power against the president, essentially, and we the people. But then simultaneously, what they're trying to do with this whole fake news, BS, war crime story on Hegseth is they're also trying to signal to members of the military and the intelligence community that, oh, hey, by the way, if and when we get back into power, we will prosecute you. We will cook up some phony excuse to prosecute you once we're back in power if you don't do what we demand right now.
And even bigger than that, what they're trying to do right now is, just like they did in Trump's first term, is they're trying to take that the speed of that ceiling fan and crank it up to 11 to where it's right back to where it was his first term, where it is just nonstop chaos, sabotage, all of that stuff. And you see the wheels coming off of this train right now. You see it getting ready to happen. And you can see the new year be right back to how his first term was. And you know where it all stems from, Aaron? Is these crooked judges. They let the administration allowed these crooked judges to continually issue their crooked rulings with absolutely no pushback. And see, now the left fully believes that they can stop or delay anything Donald Trump does. So you know what that all ends up in, Aaron? They don't fear him anymore, and that's bad.
One point I want to go back to on this whole narco-terrorist story here. John, you and I were laughing about this during the break. Democrat Senator Jack Reed, here he is. He was on CNN, and RNC Research shared this one on X. Here is a Democrat Senator Jack Reed. I think he's out of Rhode Island. Listen to what he says as he's downplaying who these narco-terrorists driving these drug boats actually are.
You know, one of the factors that drives use in the United States and is demand. And most narco traffickers are not in those boats. They pay people to do that. And usually people are not significantly involved with narco trading. It's the way they make money.
This could almost be today's all for Pete's sake moment, John. What this guy is saying is, well, the people driving these drug boats, they're not in the drug trade. They just drive boats. I mean, that would be like if the Montana Highway Patrol pulled over a drug trafficker outside of Butte on the interstate right now. And the drug trafficker says, oh, I'm not in the drug trade. I just drive cars.
Don't you know, Aaron, they're just harmless, innocent fishermen. Just fishermen that were down on their luck and are just ferrying some harmless, you know, tons of cocaine, you know, from point A to point B. That's all it is. And don't you love this guy? How is this guy a senator? Do you hear his delivery? He talks like he works for NPR, right? Good Lord, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it's just crazy. Let's see. Before we move on to the Ukraine Russia story here, I've actually got audio. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gobb out of Helena. He and I were both at the Lake County Lincoln Reagan dinner just a month or two ago. But he was on Fox News last night with Trace Gallagher giving his take on the whole Russia-Ukraine deal. So we'll share that here with our listeners as well. But first, we got to go to this. This is Secretary of War Pete Hegseth yesterday in the cabinet meeting basically going out and eviscerating, as Nick Sartor pointed out, the fake news over this, you know, BS war crimes story.
proud to do it.
So you didn't see any survivors, to be clear, after that first show?
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand, because the thing was on fire. And it was exploded in fire and smoke. You can't see anything. You got digital. This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand. You sit in your air-conditioned offices or up on Capitol Hill, and you nitpick, and you plant fake stories in the Washington Post about kill everybody, phrases on anonymous sources not based in anything, not based in any truth at all. And then you want to throw out really irresponsible terms about American heroes, about the judgment that they made. I wrote a whole book on this topic because of what politicians and the press does to warfighters.
Yeah, it's a great book, by the way, John, War on Warriors. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see that one. But, yeah, did you watch much of the president's cabinet meeting yesterday?
I saw clips, and that was a great clip of Hegseth just taking the boots right to them. And he's very good at it because he was a media guy himself for a long time. He's very articulate. And my question is, too, if I'm Pete Hegseth, I'm asking myself, where did this leak come from in my chain? How did anybody even know that we took a second shot at this one particular boat? And we're going to run that down and start putting people on polygraphs, and anybody that fails is fired.
Ooh, yeah, that would be an interesting turn of events there, wouldn't it? Let's see. We had a message from Bruce in Ennis. I'll share that coming up here right after this. And I think, actually, we'll have more on that story Bruce is talking about coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This truck driver is now charged with killing this newlywed couple. Horrific crash in Oregon. An illegal immigrant granted a commercial driver's license in the United Socialist Utopia of Gavin Newsom's California, according to the feds. Now, if you read liberals, they apparently yesterday Hollywood is stepping up to the plate. They're going all in on donating to Gavin. I've watched this movie before. Just because you get the early money and you become the early front runner doesn't mean you end up being the candidate. But I'd say he's probably, as of today, 3 years away, he's probably the odds-on favorite, I would argue, to be the Democratic nominee.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, with war in the Middle East, war in Europe, I mean, so many untold tens and tens of thousands of people have been suffering, and they are all in need of the bare necessities of life. They need food and water and medication and clothing and shelter. You name it, they need it. Told you about Maria, 85 years old, lives alone, nearly blind, broken hip, a Holocaust survivor. Her father and brother murdered by the Nazis. Now, she still lives in her childhood home. She doesn't have indoor plumbing, no heat. It's bitter cold, and she barely has enough food to survive. Now, you can help us through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. For example, a $25 gift will provide survival food boxes, and that's life-saving aid for people like Maria. Whatever you can donate, your generosity makes it all possible. Call now, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or online, just go to HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
Winter's coming in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so this was the message from Bruce in Ennis earlier in the hour. Hamilton, yesterday, 500 hippies showed up to put down a mining project in the Bitterroot. That's from Bruce in Ennis. Bruce, I'll talk more about that story coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. In fact, actually, I think I mentioned it yesterday as well. I think there's more to that story. I think the company has a lot of work to do when it comes to messaging about that project because, yeah, there were a lot of folks that showed up and to raise concerns with the expedited permit potentially going towards that company. So anyway, we'll talk more about that because I did see that that both Senator Sheehy, actually both Senator Sheehy and Senator Daines, as well as Congressman Zinke, have all weighed in on that topic as well. So we'll get to that coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Also, just got a message here from Dave in Kalispell. The only reason anyone would defend narco terrorists or anything illegal is because they have a vested interest in those illegal activities, period. That's from Dave in Kalispell. Or John, it could just be that you know, your standard Trump derangement syndrome, where they are willing to do anything to try to take down Trump and his team, even if it means defending narco terrorists in the process.
I'm just laughing at the picture, the mental picture of 500 hippies in one place. You know, I'm imagining they're, of course, they're all of them probably are average 77, 78 years old, and you know, still, you know, got their whole 1968 hippie thing going on, but with all gray hair and kind of walking around all humped over.
Yeah, no, but I think it was a broader, I think there was a broader cross-section of the community than just hippies that were raising concerns about that rare earth project in particular. But like I say, we'll get into that one more coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Let's see, real quick, John, and we can talk more in the 9 o'clock hour on this one as well. Your take on Russia, Ukraine, and what's going on with the peace talks there.
Yeah, tough stuff. I think both sides are being forced to come to the table now by President Trump. Just through the force of his will, he's making them sit down and be serious. But on the other hand, you're watching our, in big quotes, allies in the EU, the forces within NATO, actively trying to sabotage this stuff with you know, threatening preemptive strikes and threatening to go to a ground war with Putin, to the point to where Putin he came out yesterday and said he's ready to, if these people want to declare war on him, he's ready. And that's what everybody has to get their head wrapped around now. The old days of those countries in Europe being our allies are gone. They are a communist thugocracy who are actively trying to destroy their own countries along with us.
That's similar to a comment that Darren Gobb out of Helena made on Fox News with Trace Gallagher last night. I'll save that soundbite for the 9 o'clock hour coming up here, because we got another caller on the phone lines, Grandpa Lou in Billings. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind, Grandpa Lou?
Oh, hey, good morning, Aaron and John. And I just wanted to give a big shout out to our good friend Stacy Zinn for being appointed to fill the vacant seat there in House District 52 in Yellowstone County. You know, they couldn't ask for a more dedicated, hardworking person. And I just wanted to let everybody know I'm just sitting here at my desk eating this whole bag of Dear Summer sausage all by myself.
Oh, man.
I was going to share with somebody, but I couldn't find them this morning.
Well, you know, Caden's man in the studio there, you know, could always use
some.
A snack. He got some. Oh, see, you're too kind. You're too kind.
He got some.
Well, good. Good. Cause
and on the Somalian thing, I just want to say, too, didn't that all start with Hussein Obama, when he put all them 80,000 all together there in Minnesota? He knew what he was doing, and he gave them all natural citizenship, and he knew he was planting the seed for all this crap.
Good point. By the way, Caden says it was delicious. So yeah.
Breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Exhale very slowly. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
KDUS.